traveling the world searching for equestrians of all breeds. The journey starts now on the International Equine Network.
Good afternoon, equestrians. This is Scott Miller coming to you live from Delray Beach, Florida, Sunshine Meadows Equestrian Village and Palm Beach Downs. We've got a lot of things going on this week, man. I'm telling you, everything's gearing up towards, pointing towards a lot of national championships. One of them that we'll talk about later on in the show is the Breeders' Cup. Got a lot of win and you're in races coming up. We got the Olympics coming up. We got just a lot of things that are going on everywhere, you know, New York and Kentucky and Michigan and California, a lot of good shows coming up, both domestic and international. And it's just really got me going here like crazy. We're still trying to get to the point to where we'll do video. I promise you next Friday, we will have video on the show. I'll have everything all done and completed and go from there. And not that this is an excuse, but I've been real busy here. It's something that the horsemen need to think about all over the South, Texas through Florida and Georgia up the East Coast. It's hurricane season, and we are a certified hurricane facility here at Palm Beach Downs and Sunshine Meadows. We've got 750 stalls here at Sunshine Meadows. 550 of them are concrete cinder block buildings, and they're hurricane resistant. We survived all the hurricanes that we've had, you know, since I've been here for the last 10 years. And it's really a good thing. All you got to do is give me a call at 561-690-8813, and I can make all the arrangements for your hurricane needs that when you come here. We have gasoline and electric pumps for the water so you never run out of water. And we have facilities to store feed and hay for your horse in case you have to stay, you know, an extended length of time. We'll be glad to help you here at Sunshine Meadows and get you all taken care of, because those are the things that you have to start planning for. You got to make sure that whenever you do get the warnings, and thank God for hurricanes, because you get a few days notice. You know, you get 3, 4, 5, maybe even a week's notice, you know, so you can get prepared for it. And so, but we're prepared now for it. We can take horses at any time that you want to bring them over. Just give me a call at 561-690-8813, and I'll take care of you there. If you go to the website, IANTV.org now, you'll see my non-television face, and I don't even have a face for radio, they tell me. So I just hit it and get it and go from there. We've got At the Wire. It's all live racing today from across the country. You just click onto it. You can see live races from any and everywhere that they got live racing. We got it for you right there on At the Wire. Then I tell you, one of the things that has really become popular is artists, arts and people painting horses and things of that nature. And if you go to Sunshine Meadows Equestrian Village, and that's our weekly show that we're going to have from Sunshine Meadows. It's it's an art festival. It's an art show. These owners and trainers are painting horses, and it's really a nice little clip there and tells it about what we are here at Sunshine Meadows. We're the home of past, present, and future champions of all breeds. And we'd like for you to take a look at it, and then you can come out and visit with us. Just look for me. I'll be out on a green John Deere Gator. You'll find me any and everywhere on the farm, and I'll be glad to take you a tour of the farm and introduce you to people, and you can see the things that we enjoy every day here at Sunshine Meadows. Of course, having a farm like this is no good unless you got the good tack shop and farm vet. Is unbelievable. They can get you tack from anywhere in the country, even overseas. They drop ship and get it to you within a couple of days. All you got to do is call Farm Vet. And the best thing to do is to go to their website, go to farmvet.com. and they'll show you what all they have, and they can help you with anything that you need about getting it to where you need to go to. They're real good at farm vet, and they're very knowledgeable in reference to you know, what you need for a horse, and they can take care of you in all areas and all feeds of your needs that you'll have. And then I tell you again, we got Dwayne up there on Equestrian of the Week. Dwayne Lucas, he's in his upper 80s now, tremendous horseman. He was a great quarter horse trainer at one time, left the quarter horses to get involved with the thoroughbreds, and then, of course, the rest was history. He went right to the top, straight to the Hall of Fame, won the Derbies, Preaknesses, Belmont, Breeders' Cups, you name it, he was there with it. And one of the biggest things that highlights my career that I had is that I worked for Wayne back in the day when we had Farm Away and Twilight Agenda. Farm Away might be one of the best horses that he had during his career. Farm Away was an older horse. We did racing across America. In fact, we won a stakes race at Pimlico, the Pimlico Handicap, and it was a stakes record-setting win, set the track record, and that was back in the early 90s, and that track record still stands for Farm Away. Twilight Agenda was amazing, and then we had horses like Dance Floor and you name it, the list was endless that he had every year in and year out. And the interesting thing about Wayne is not only did he have good owners and good horses, he had great staff. The employees he had Karen McLaughlin in there, which has been out on his own and doing fantastic. Had Todd Pletcher that was there. Had Mike Maker that was there back in the day. You know, it just the list was Dallas Stewart that he had. The list was just endless. And so it just goes to show you that organization of your horse establishments that you have or businesses that you have is all about organization and hard work and first class. Like at Sunshine Meadows at Farm Vet and Wayne Lucas Stables, top of the line, when you see them, you know they're the best in the business when you take a look at them. Then, and we're talking about hurricane season and things like that, even though people don't really think about it until, you know, you hear that alarm drop. We've got quick links on our website. We have Trivago.com, Hotel Finder, Weather.com, MapQuest, Ship.com, Walmart, and Heisen. And those organizations right there can take care of anything that you need in the equine business. You just go to it and you can have it. What I like about having Trivago on there, they're very inexpensive and they can get you a good room at a good hotel, anywhere, you know, you want to go, both domestic and international. And especially during hurricane season, if you can go to one click and go to Trivago when the hurricane's coming in, if you have to evacuate, you can go to Trivago and you can have you a hotel room lined up pretty quick. It might not be real close to where you're at. You might have to drive a little bit, but yet you can get there. And you got weather.com, and it'll tell you all about the hurricane, when it's coming, where it's going to, and you know what's going on. You got MapQuest. MapQuest will tell you how to get to where you need to go, to the hotel that Trivago sends you to. And that's good. And what I like about MapQuest is they do have truck information and car information. Now, that's how I got involved with MapQuest. I was headed to a farm up in New Hampshire. It was a celebrity farm. It was a beautiful farm. But they just didn't really realize about, you know, trucks coming in up there. So they told me how to get there, and I get 3 miles from the farm, and I see a sign. It says load limit on an old bridge, old country bridge. So I had to turn around and go 58 miles back the other way to get over to another road that took me into the north side of the farm. But they didn't tell me that. But if I'd had the MapQuest on there, I would have known, you know, what to do and where to go, and I would have avoided that problem. So that's what I like about MapQuest. And then we have two companies here that I highly believe in and use both of them. Shipt.com, S-H-I-P-T.com, and Walmart.com. And what I like about these two companies is they can deliver food and medicine anywhere you go. All you got to do is call them and or make your order. You order off the internet and because you don't have to go there, and they can deliver to your barn, to your house, to your hotel. I even had them deliver to me when I was in the hospital for 2.5 months. And I really like that. And, you know, it's things like this that help make the horse industry, a lot easier. And it's tough enough and long enough hours. And like with Walmart and Ship, I can order and I don't have to spend an hour's time running down to the store, finding a parking spot, going in, you know, take an hour or so of my time. I can just order right off the internet, and they deliver right to the barn or right to the farm or right to the hotel or wherever you're at. They'll do that. And then a very, very important thing that we're going to start talking about, going into detail about every Friday, is about equine transportation. There's a lot of things that need to be said for equine transportation, especially now that the temperatures are getting up around 90 degrees. And at nighttime, the lows down here and in Kentucky have been like in the 70s and 80s. And so what we're going to do on equine transportation, we're going to talk about how to ship horses. Brookledge is probably the best shipping company, ground shipping company that I've ever dealt with in the business in my 30 plus years, here in the business. It's been really interesting, with them. They know how to ship horses. They got layovers. They got quality, equipment that they make themselves in Ole, Pennsylvania. And all of their drivers and attendants are equine aficionados. They're the best. They've handled horses. They've owned horses. So they know what to do and how to get them loaded and what to look for. But at this time of year when we're trying to ship horses and we're racing and showing, it's the most important thing that you can do is get the body fluids into the horses. A lot of people, use electrolytes and they put into the horse's water. Now, me personally, I don't like using electrolytes into the water buckets. Some horses smell the electrolytes in it and they don't drink the water. And I had a friend of mine today, and I got her, she had problems with her horse drinking and eating. So I told her if she put the powdered electrolytes into the horse's feed, the horse is going to eat it because they go after that feed no matter what. And I said, then you can measure and see that the horse is getting his electrolytes. And then you can kind of compare, is he drinking water, yes or no? Then you can kind of move on down the road with him and see what the problem is. But I guarantee you, when you put that electrolytes into the feed, mix it up real good, they'll eat it and they'll drink water. They'll drink water. And that's very important. And not only important for the horses, but the owners and trainers and riders, they need to keep their electrolytes up and need to keep water and, Powerade in the barn so that you always have something, to drink there and you don't let the heat get to you. Also keep a couple towels in there in a cooler. What I would do here is we put some kitchen towels in a cooler, and then we put ice in it. And on top of it. And then as the ice melts, you got a nice cold rag. And if you got anybody that, collapses or passes out from the heat, the kitchen towel's big enough that you can get it around their neck and around their head, and get that body to cool down a little bit. So that's an important thing to do, when you're at the barn or at the track or wherever you're at. And then, we go to hallway feeds. Hallway feeds can feed your horse anywhere in the world. They can get it there. You don't have to take your horse off the feed that you have in Florida, Kentucky, New York, California, Canada, Japan, wherever, because it's the same feed. They mix the same feed and ship that everywhere, all over the world. And domestically here. So, and also too, they're a good company to deal with because with the heat situation, you might want to call Hallway Feeds or go to hallwayfeeds.com and look what they have there. And what I like about the Hallway Feeds is with this heat, they can tell you what you need to feed your horse, whether to increase or decrease. You know, they got the right feed for the heat. They got the right feed for the winter. They got the right feed for breeding season. They got the right feed for racing. They got the right feed for everything, you know, and that's why I like Hallway Feeds. So go to them, especially, you know, here in the summertime that we have. Today we also got Woodbine Racetrack. We got live racing from Woodbine Racetrack in Canada. Exciting up there. I think, and I'm not really big into, you know, gambling, but their jackpot power pick six carryover $74,000today. So, you know, that's something to kind of look at there if you into the wagering end of it. But that's a live from Woodbine Racetrack that it's going on now. And then the format and foundation I've laid out for the International Equine Network, and especially for the website, is to have weekly program and various different, you know, things on about the horse industry. And if you go to our weekly program, it's about halfway down on the website. You'll see IEN rough cuts, how IEN got started, and it just shows you kind of a collage of horse events that I thought would be interesting to the horse industry. And it's got show jumping, it's got racing, it's got sales, it's got polo, it's got the show horses, the dressage, the hunter jumpers, you name it, it's got it. And it's just a little brief introduction there to what we do here and everything. So then I said, well, now that I got the idea, I said, I got to implement the programming. So back in the day, as they say, a friend of mine, Anna Seitz, TV announcer and horse person that's second to none. Her whole family is really, really in the horse business. They do a little bit of everything. And I thought about her. I said, Anna, I said, here's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to put together the International Equine Network, and explained it to her. And she said, sure, I'll be glad to help you. I'll be glad to, you know, work with you, and we'll get this thing started. So I went to Keeneland Racetrack. I always loved Keeneland. I thought that was one of the greatest places in the world to go to because they had everything. They had sales. They had racing. You know, they had the breeding all around the Kentucky horse parks all through by Keeneland. So it's called Keeneland Putting a Show Together. And Anna comes in and she starts interviews and she talks to the jockeys that are running and she talks to the owners and the trainers about what we're doing. And we followed a horse called Reddy's Echo, nice horse. Ran third in the Belmont Stakes. He laid off for a long time over the summer and came back to Keeneland, and we followed him to see if he wins. And if you go to it, you'll see if he wins or not. I'm not going to tell you if he does or if he doesn't, but it's a real good segment there. And I worked going through and talking to the owners and just showing you how a show gets put together, and then we edit it, and it makes it like it's easy. You know, and we got the rough cut in there. We've got a little bit of everything. So I think you'll really like it. And then every state here in the United States, over in Europe, South America, Asia, every province, state, you know, or parish has an agriculture department. And so what we do here, we go IEN state by state equine reports. And so what I do is I get with the state agriculture department and we ask them to let us know what they want to talk about as far as the equine industry is concerned in their state. What are they trying to do? Where are they going? You know, what is the status of the equine industry in your state? And so me being from Florida, we have the Florida horse, and it goes through and it tells you about how the Florida horses came, about the crackers, and you know, you name it, it tells you all about it. We talk to tack shop people about how they sell the tack, the economic impact that it has on the state of Florida, you know, and the hotels and the Burger Kings and McDonald's and the hospitals and the gas stations and the Walmarts. It's a tremendous amount of money that's impacted on the state of Florida. And it's like that in every state. Florida is no different than Kentucky, New York, California, Missouri, Idaho. The equine industry has a huge impact on each state in our country. So we're going to go through this every week. We've got 52 weeks in a year, and we're going to go through 52 different states over the year and see, you know, who is what. And you'll be surprised. One of the big surprises you're going to have is when we do our segment on Alaska. Alaska has show horses. You got the horse in Alaska is very important. But what's really interesting is the show horses in the arenas, the indoor arenas that they build for these show horses. And so that'll be, you know, a real good one to go to. And then, of course, you know, we go through all the states, Kentucky, New York, Missouri, Arkansas, every state we got, we'll go through. And each one's unique and different in their own way, but it's still all the same. It's still the horse industry and the economic impact that they have on each state. See, when you see those dollar figures, it'll blow your mind. You know, you make you realize how important the horses are to our country and to our people. And then we have quarter time. We have barrel racing on there today. I tell you, the quarter horse industry is amazing. They're the real cowboys and cowgirls. You name it, they do it with a horse. It's just amazing the things that they teach these horses and the things that the horses teach the riders and their trainers. That's quarter time. And it's really, really interesting to watch and see how important the horse was to our country being developed and coming up. We've got a lot of good things coming on there, and that's our show called Quarter Time, the AQHA events. And then, you know, I tell you, sometimes I get out here and I think about, you know, how crazy these horses can get, how fast they are. And we have the fastest horses in the country are taken care of. And so that's a unique and nice little, you know, segment there. I think it's only about 5 or 6 minutes long. But it talks about the fastest horses in the world, how they're taken care of and how they get a bath and how they're fed. It's really, really good. You know, I like that. So the next one that we go to is a segment called We Took a Holiday with Our Horse. And what I like it about this is it's a couple of guys that took their horses over in Europe, and they went through Europe and what they were looking for and what they were doing, you know, and it's kind of like somebody going to play golf. Instead of taking golf clubs, you're taking your horses with you. And that's a real good segment. And they talk about what they were looking for and costs and things of that nature. It's really a good segment, how they travel through Europe. And you can do the same thing here in the United States, which is, you know, take your little mini vacation type thing. And then, again, like on our weekly program, we got Quest for Equine Gold on there. We've got highlights of the 2024 sport highlights from the Longines Global Champions Tour, the LGCT, that was in Paris this past spring. It's good. It shows you the grounds in Paris and what they're going to be looking at when they get over there. That's on our show called Quest for Equine Gold. And we're going to be having a lot of programming on that show, coming up here, getting ready to decide who goes, in the finals to Paris to, make the Olympics. And, there's going to be some interesting upsets because we've got a lot of good riders here from the United States. And the one that we've been following real close is, Jessica Springsteen. And I know she doesn't like this when I tell, you know, when I say, because she says, I'm my own person, Scott. I'm my own person. But, she is a celebrity. She's, Bruce Springsteen's daughter. You know, and she's a good rider. And not because of Bruce, it's because of her. you know, and so, but, you know, we do have quite a few people here that are, you know, good riders. And she's just getting better and better every year. I hope she makes it this year. But if not, she will have two or three world championships under her belt for the next Olympics. But I honestly do. I think Jessica's going to win and get onto the team. She's really good and dedicated and hard worker. She even sweats. And I always kid her about that. And she just gets after me like there's no tomorrow. Then we've got the freestyle dressage Nations Cup. It's a replay of the Nations Cup. It's really a good show. Dressage is a sport that is acquired and taught to a horse. It's not a natural gait for it. So when you see these horses doing their dressage routines and dancing to the music, you got to remember that that is taught by a trainer and a rider. It's not something that's acquired like it is for, you know, thoroughbred or standardbred or a quarter horse where they just get out and run. This dance has to be taught, and it takes many, many months and years of schooling to get these horses to the Olympics. And it's a real interesting piece. I think you really like it. That's on our show 0 to 10. And 0 to 10 is how they score the points for the dressage. I'm trying to figure out what to name the show. And so I sat down one day and I was reading one of the show results. It was 0 to 10 on the top of the page. And I said, well, there you go. That's the name of my show, 0 to 10. And you can click on there and you can see the United States Equestrian Federation and the federal, the international FEI organization. You click on that, and that'll get you right to all that you need to know. And then I tell you, this show, this next one, it's my show. It's called Chucker. It's all about polo, and it presents the United States Polo Association presents Never Enough Hours: Life of a Polo Groom. Oh man, I'm telling you. You go and see that. You'll be tired. You'll be tired in the first 15 minutes that you watch this. But it's all about the grooming polo horses, what needs to be done to them, how they train them and everything. And that's our show that we have called Chucker. And we have a lot of live competitions coming up, especially through the winter, every week. And what I like about Chucker, we're doing a lot of the polo matches that they do during Tuesdays and Wednesdays and their practice matches. And so, you know, we'll be doing those. And then on Saturdays and Sundays, we'll be doing the live matches, and they can get pretty wicked. Some of those are. They play for a lot of money and a lot of movie stars, a lot of athletes, a lot of famous people are playing polo now. And it's amazing. You'll be surprised when you see the who's who that's playing polo on our programming. And then we have Last Call. Last Call was a project that I started. Actually, it was pretty much like one of my first ones. We had horses at the sales at Keeneland. And then we had horses at OBS sales. And then we had horses out at California. And back in the day, I always say back in the day, like I'm real 100 years old. But when I first started this, we were talking about the sales. You know, at this time, they weren't really putting them on TV. They weren't. There was really no internet. They were just had the sales. And so I was at the sale at Keeneland, and I'll never forget. The auctioneer was up there, and he was going through his bids on the auction, and so finally slowed down, and he decided he was going to, you know, call the sale. And he says, all right. He says, last call. And the guy raised his hand, and that was the last call. So then I got to thinking about it, because internet was just coming around. And they started the second phase of selling horses was over the telephone, and because we didn't have the internet. So then when they go to the last call, is it from the phone or is it from somebody at the sale? And then the auctioneer would say last call. So then all of a sudden, you know, the internet comes around. I said, wow, I said, this is going to be a gold mine right here. I said, if we can just get the sales companies on board with it and how to structure the way it's going to be. And so we all sat down. I sat down with a lot of people from Ocala and California and Kentucky. And so I decided to call it Last Call. And the reason I did that, I wanted to know where the last call was coming from. Was it coming from somebody at the sale? Was it coming from somebody off the phone? Or was it coming from somebody off the internet? Where would the last call come from? So that's how that got its name. And it's turned out pretty good because, like, on July 8th coming up here, we're going to have the July Selected Horses of Racing Age sale at Fasig Tipton. And that's a good sale because you literally you can go let's say, for example, July 8th is the sale date. You go in and you buy you a horse on July 8th. You could literally take that horse the very next week up to Saratoga, to Miami, California, wherever, and race it. Because these horses are fit and they're ready to race. But I was talking about the sales there at Fasig Tipton. That's July 8th. And you can go out to it and see it. You don't have to be an owner or buyer. You can go out and the public's more than welcome. Grab a book up and see what you think about it. And then you can let us know on July 8th where the last call came from, whether it's the internet, the phone, or at the sales. We'll put you to work. And then we have Harness Link, sponsors our show called Flying Turns. Flying Turns is really a good program. It tells you in and everything about the harness industry. Steve Wolf, good friend of mine, he's the American representative for Harness Link. You go to harnesslink.com, and that'll tell everything about the harness industry. And what I like about Harness Link is they're like IEMTV.org. They go all over the world. They've got articles, and they got film, they got racing, they got interviews, you name it. They got everything on there about the harness industry. And I guarantee you, once you go to Harness Link a couple of times and you get to go into it on a regular basis, you'll know the harness industry like there's no tomorrow. I mean, there'll be no question about it. We can ask any questions about the standard bred industry, and you'll be able to tell us. But that's harnesslink.com, and Steve Wolf is the American representative. They're international and domestic, and it's really a most informative site that you'll ever go to in the horse business at all. So we got another one here that I like. And boy, oh boy, when I created this project, I said, boy, I was creating it for me. I don't care about nobody else. I created it for me. It's called Triple Crown Traditions. And in the horse business, there's a lot of traditions, like the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness, the Belmont, 3-day Rolex at Lexington, polo, international polo. There's all kinds of traditions that each division of the horse business has. Like, for example, with the AQHA, you got the Quarter Horse Congress in Ohio every year that gets over, 100,000 people to it there. You've got all kinds of things like that. You got the Calgary Stampede that's there. And which, if you come out here to Sunshine Meadows at the tack shop over here, Sunshine and Horses, we have Rick and Liz Shout. And Liz Shout was the rodeo queen at the Calgary Stampede. She's Canadian, and she's really a tremendous horse person. And so is her husband, Rick. He's a standard bred driver and trainer, one of the best that there is. They're honest as the day is long. And when they tell you something about a horse, then you can take it to the bank because they know what they're talking about. And there, but anyhow, the point I'm making is there's all kinds of traditions that we have here, especially like, and we're focused now on the Triple Crown races, like at Churchill Downs. You got My Old Kentucky Home. You get 250,000 people there, and you got everything that you can think of. For example, you got the top four recipes that we have on here for the Kentucky Derby. And, we'll have Kentucky Burgoo. You got the mint julep. You know, you got, we have Triple Crown recipes that are called the hot brown sliders. Got a little bit of everything there, but it's all tradition for the Kentucky Derby. We have a Derby pie, which is kind of like a pecan pie. It's really good. You know, we got the Kentucky Burgoo and the barbecue. Those are the traditions. And you can do that, those traditions at the track, or you can create your own traditions at home. And that's what this Triple Crown Traditions is about. We want to know what kind of tradition you're setting up. You don't have to know a lot about horses. It's just a good get together with family and friends to where you can do barbecue, you can do whatever. But you start your own tradition. And I guarantee you, once you start doing it, then it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. It'll do that. You know, you have to end up getting a farm instead of a house, and you can do it at your house. And same thing with Pimlico. The Pimlico traditions that are there in Maryland, in Baltimore, Maryland. You know, it's the Maryland crab cakes. They've got seafood of all kinds there at Pimlico. They've got a good drink special there they have. They got to call it Black Eyed Susan. Like the Derby, they got the mint julep, the Black Eyed Susan, you know, at Pimlico. And this show goes through and it tells you about what the traditions are at Pimlico and Churchill and Belmont. At Belmont, we got, it's amazing at Belmont. It's just high-end food everywhere. They've got some real nice drinks. I mean, it's really good. It's a good little segment there. But the point of the Triple Crown tradition is that Derby week, it'll be the Wednesday before the Kentucky Derby. And what we do is we take an owner, a trainer, and a jockey, and we have a cook-off. And they have a competition. And at the end of that competition, the winner of that competition goes on to the Breeders' Cup in Del Mar, California, in the next November. We do the same thing at Pimlico, and we do the trainer, jockey, owner, whoever wins, they go to the sidelines and wait to go to the Breeders' Cup at Del Mar in November. And same thing at the Belmont. So now at the Breeders' Cup in Del Mar, we have three people. It could be three owners, it could be three trainers, it could be three jockeys, it could be a combination of any one of the three. But we're going to have three people there, and we're going to have a cook-off at the Breeders' Cup Championship. And at that championship, we will crown the Triple Crown Traditions Champion. And so it ought to be interesting to see, because we're going to have quite a variety of food. And we'll announce here in the next 30 days who the head chef is going to be that's going to be the ramrod for it. They're going to school them and get them ready to go. But, you know, we're just trying to do things like that, because the horse business is tradition. A lot of things that you do here. You know, like going to the 3-day Rolex in Lexington. You know, we get over 100,000 people there in April. And you got people that are, you've got cross country, you've got stadium jumping and dressage. And it's a great week to go see. It's amazing the things that these horses can do, especially like in 3-day Rolex in Lexington. You're right on the course. You can walk right up to the course and see the horses training, showing, jumping. It's just a great thing to go through and do, you know, with that. But that's basically, you know, what we're talking about here, you know, on our programming. And then the thing that started immediately right after this last Kentucky Derby, it's how they get there, the 2025 Kentucky Derby. And what I do is I start following trainers and owners at the beginning of the season, which was last May, as soon as the Derby was over. So we follow an owner and we find out what he does, how he decides to get a horse and point towards the Derby. And then he tells us, you know, the first thing that he does is he gets a trainer, and we meet the trainer, and we have them discussing what horses they're going to try to get to the Derby, Then we have the jockey gets involved. They have to select a jockey that's going to be with them on the journey to the Kentucky Derby. Then we talk about how the horses ride them on trucks, planes, how they go on barges and ships to get to the Kentucky Derby. We do that. So that's interesting there. Then we talk to a blacksmith, and we find out how they get the shoes and how important the shoes they are for running in the Derby. We talk to Steve Norman. Steve Norman's the best blacksmith ever to hit the face of this earth. That guy is good. He's a real professional, and he's shot a lot of the Derby winners. And, of course, we've got hallway feed. You see how they feed them. Then we go to people that I'm involved with. It's called MyRacehorse.com. They had Seize the Gray that won the Preakness this year. They've got a lot of big-time stakes winners, and it's how they buy and sell horses at the sales. And you'd be surprised how little money you could spend to get involved in a horse and owning a horse. It's called MyRacehorse.com. Go to it and tell them that Scott sent you, and they'll take care of you really, really good. I promise you that. And then we talk about the Derby, Kentucky Derby prep races. We go through all 26 races. We follow them and broadcast them live. All 26 races through the year that leads up to the 20 horses that earn the points to get to the Kentucky Derby. And I mean, it's really a good program that we have there. And then naturally we have the decision to run in the Derby. We sit down with the owner, the trainer, and the jockey, and how they decide to go to the Kentucky Derby. You know, it's usually a group decision. And then if they all decide on it, then they go to the Kentucky Derby. And then, of course, we got the 2025 Kentucky Derby coming up. You know, so that's really good to see, you know, that. But, you know, the whole horse industry can be good. It can really be good. You see all kinds of people. You meet all kinds of celebrities. And then you got a bunch of regular people like me that just regular guys, not flashy, not nothing, you know, but we're horse people. And that's what I like about what I do, you know, and who we get through with these different programs that we're doing here. And then we're looking at the Thoroughbred Horsemen's Association. We got an update here. They're going to have a lot of good things going on this year. There's changes that have been increased to stand down on time for fetlock injections. And, you know, you almost have to be a vet to do this. But the Thoroughbred Horsemen's Association has rules and regulations that they go through by HISA. And they come in and they have these little seminars that they give, and they talk about rule changes, and they just don't hand you a piece of paper and say, here are the rule changes. What they do is they talk to you about the rules changes, you know, what you have to do, you know, and how with HISA and the Thoroughbred Horsemen's Association want to make sure that the owners and trainers are all on the same page. They've got to have good communications between them about when a horse gets injected, when he doesn't. You know, there's a lot to it, and they're trying to open those communications between the people that run the show to make sure that they're all following, you know, the rules and regulations. And, you know, this year they had, and you're not going to believe this, but this year they had at Santa Anita Park, where they had all the breakdowns a couple of years ago, they had 99.3% safety rate. Horses weren't breaking down. They did studies on the track on how they were being fed, how they were being trained, how they were being done, everything. And I'm not saying that they've eliminated the problem, but what they have done is they made it to a point to where, you know, it's tolerable, that you can prevent injuries. And all along, it was basically common sense is what it was. It was basically common sense. And so that's what the Thoroughbred Horsemen's Association, HISA, and all the states have gotten together, and they've implemented these rules. Now the problem is educating the trainers, educating the owners and the veterinarians on what they have to do and how they have to do it. Now, it does add work to your workday, but that's a small price to pay to have good, solid horses that aren't breaking down. And that's what I like about these programs. And like we were saying about the economic value of the horse industry to what we're doing here, Ellis Park will host breakfast with the works on June 29th. Ellis Park is excited to invite families back to the track for breakfast with the works on Saturday, June 29th, from 7 to 9:30 a.m. That's tomorrow that we'll have it here. Well, it's Central Time. It'll be on Central Time. And you're going to really, really enjoy this. Now, you can go out and spend a whole day, you know, there at the track, and you're going to get an inside look at how the horse industry works. You're going to get a good old country breakfast. You're going to have see everything that's there. And it says Breakfast with the Works is a family-friendly event. It's free admission. Can't beat that. Attendants are invited to enjoy complimentary coffee and donuts while getting up close to the horses preparing for the Ellis Park racing season, which spans from July 4th to August 26th. Along with watching the horses train, many local trainers will be in attendance to educate fans about what it is to be on the racetrack. I tell you, it's a good thing for the guests to come in and see. So the 102nd live race season, 102 seasons they've been at Ellis Park. That starts on July 4th. Daily post times is at 12:50. And racing will be held Saturday through Monday, except for the opening week, in which that will span Thursday through Sunday. For more information, call intv.org at 561-690-8813 or go to ellispark.com, and we'll find about it. Kentucky Racing, this is really good. And show you about what we're all about here at IEN, about distribution of equine information. That's the most important thing for us right now here in the horse industry. And that's why I started this company. We want to have information about the horse industry everywhere. You can get it in print, you can get it on TV, you can get it in books, libraries, farms, you can get anything you want. But what I like to do here is bring it all together in one simple stop. You come here and you can find out anything you want to know about the equine industry. And just to show you how things are going, Kentucky Racing Spotlight returns July 12th on ESPN Radio 680 in Lexington. The Kentucky HPBA will return to its weekly Friday 6 to 7 p.m. Broadcast, run on July 12th. The first program hosting special edition Saturday morning at 11 to noon. So you're going to be able to see all that. That's Stephen Foster Day. That's why they moved it to noon there. We're getting a little bit of a storm here, folks. I didn't call into the Weather Channel to see what we got here. We're getting ready to get a real bad storm. And so if you lose me, you know where it's at. I've gone to Kansas on it. But now we've got ESPN Radio, and they're coming back to do horse racing for the fans, and that's really good in what it does. The distribution of information. The Keeneland Falls Stakes meet is worth a record $9.6 million this year. A total of $550,000 has been added to the purses of four stakes races led by the Byron Stallion Stakes. It's a grade three. Let's see what else we got here. We got the Queen Elizabeth II Challenge. That's here. That's $150,000. We've got the Valley View Stakes. It's $300,000. The Perryville Stakes is $50,000. So, they just boosted the money up for all the trainers that are here that are coming in. Of course, we had, the Belmont Stakes was at Saratoga this year because they're repairing Saratoga, or they're rebuilding Belmont. It was fantastic what they had there at the spa. It was just unbelievable. The 4 days of racing that they had at Belmont this year had a crowd of 50,000 people average every day. They wagered $197 million. It was an increase of $60 million from the last four-day festival in 22 that they had. Now, that's amazing when you see that kind of money being wagered in a four-day period at any track. But that's what I'm saying. The tracks are starting to cater to the fan. Well, I don't like to say the word cater. They're trying to make it easy for the fans, make it enjoyable for what they want. And it's been really great. They have a lot of different things when you go there, like going to breakfast on the backside. You can take tours of the track in the morning and see the horses train. There's just so many things that you can do, at the track. And that's why I'm saying get out, see an equestrian event somewhere in your area. And then one of the things I'm excited about is the 54th annual Eclipse Awards will return to Palm Beach. And I'm glad they do it because they do such a great job here at Palm Beach at the National Thoroughbred Racing Association's Eclipse Awards. It's really good. The Breakers in Palm Beach is where it's at. The NTR president and CEO, Tom Rooney, celebrating the success of racing, human and equine champions, is the highlight of the year at the Breakers. And you'll be seeing a lot of things there. The Eclipse Awards will be held 2 days before the Pegasus World Cup in Gulfstream on January 25th. And let me tell you, when they have the Pegasus Day at Gulfstream, you see best horses from all over the world, millions of dollars being given away. And so they try to combine that into a good weekend, here in South Florida. And so that's what I like about it. What else we got here? Claiborne Farm Lanes End sponsors a division at the makeover, the retired racehorse makeover project. And what I like about that project is they take the horses in off the track and they make them over and see what you can do with them, and do a lot of different things with them. And that's really a good project. And Claiborne Farm and Lanes End, two of the biggest people in the country. When you're in Lexington, go down to Claiborne or to Lanes End. You go out and take a look at the farm, see all the stallions and champions that they have there with them. Let's see, where else are we here? Well, I'm trying to organize my rambling on the show today. I don't know how good that's going, but what can I say? I don't have any listeners, so I don't have any critics. So when I walk away from here today, I feel good, but if I've got to open the door and somebody's going to be criticizing me and aggravating me and throwing stuff at me, I don't want to do that. So worst thing that could happen to me is I get listeners on here. Los Alamitos opens June 22nd for their thoroughbred meet. That is a fantastic meet that they have there. It really is. It just Los Alamitos is historically a great place. You see a lot of champions there. It's good. The Ascot and Virginia and Victoria Racing Club signed new partnerships together. They're trying to get their two clubs together over in Europe to have match races. You run a race and qualify at Ascot, and then you can go to the Victoria Racing Club, and you can race in their things that they have. And then one of the things that I wanted to say real quick here before we get out of here, Santa Anita Park completes their near perfect safety year. Like I was saying, it was amazing what California racing had started out there. I'm telling you, it's just unbelievable. The turnaround all in a year's time. and it was all educating the trainers and the owners and the track people. And one of the biggest things that that I see that's really helped us out a lot in the business is the track superintendent Fieldale at Churchill is September 8th through the 10th. And what they do is the 2024 track superintendent Fieldale will be held at September 8th through the 10th at Churchill Downs. A welcome reception will be held on the evening of September 8th and a conference on September 9th and 10th. The 2025 event will be held at the Hollywood Casino at Penn National Racecourse in Grantville, Pennsylvania. In 2024, the agenda will be developed by the advisory committee of seven racetrack superintendents with the knowledge and experience with all types of surfaces. So they've got it all down from the turf to the dirt to the tapeta to the artificial tracks. And what they do is they've met with a lot of the colleges and a lot of the people that are studying racetracks. And they come in and they tell them how to maintain it, you know, what to do if you have a severe weather situation, you know, the hot temperatures, the cold temperatures. That's what they do. There and that's probably helped us a lot. Well, folks, it's the end of our day here. I think I confused you enough. I confused myself enough and everything about what I'm doing. But all in all, what we're doing here at IENTV.org is putting out equine information. And if you've got any questions, just call me 561-690-8813 or go to msmequine24@gmail.com. And we will answer all your questions. If you want to get tickets to any of the racing venues, to any of the shows, call me. I've got connections. I can get you some good seats in there. We'll get you a VIP tour. We didn't have any call-ins today, so I guess that's another Apple card in the bank. And also, all in all, have a great weekend. Get ready for 4th of July. Be safe. And we'll talk to you next Friday at 2 o'clock on BBSRadioTV.com.